Good evening, good morning, wherever you are. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host for the evening, Dave Schrader. Thank you for tuning in and spending your night with me. What Wags the World? Tales of Conscious Awakening. My guest Miriam Knight will be joining us in just a little bit. Before we bring Miriam on, I wanted to address something. I hosted the show back on December 6th. I had Betty Andreasen Luca and her husband Bob Luca on our show talking about the Andreasen affair. It is one of the most well-documented cases of alien abduction. And a great interview, interesting people, certainly a strange tale to tell. During the final hour of the show, as we were chatting, and her husband Bob was talking and relating a story regarding some of the high strangeness that's gone on in their lives, something caught my attention during the live interview, and I actually stopped the interview to ask if his wife Betty was whispering to him during his little conversation. And she assured me she was not whispering to him. I heard through my headphones an audible feminine whisper underneath his context as he's discussing this part of their history. And it was a strange part too, because he was actually talking about the recording of the hypnosis and the regression therapy sessions and the weird audio that they were getting. His story was building up as he was talking about the one time they were doing the audio regression. And when the scientists and the counselors played back the audio, there was no words. You couldn't hear their conversations, but you could hear the song "It's Wonderful, It's Marvelous" playing on all of their recorders. And that's the part of the story he starts to tell me after he sings it to me a little bit, and then he starts to tell the story. You can hear this feminine whisper come up under his voice. I stop him, talk a little bit about what we just heard, and then he goes on to explain to me, well, that's the other part of the story. On her recordings, there was a female voice that was coming in and saying things just before she was speaking. So we had this moment of high strangeness on Coast to Coast on December 6th. So many people hit me up after the show saying, did you find the audio? Was it there? Did it actually happen? And I know a lot of the Coast insiders went back and listened to the audio and told me they too heard the whisper. So sitting back here in Minnesota, I had my producer and engineer, Tim Dennis, pull the audio for me shortly after the show, and we went in to go listen to it. And we'll get into that in a few seconds, but let me play for you. And we'll play it a few times. I want to play for you that actual original piece of audio. It's just under a minute long the first time, so you can actually hear how it went out over the air on December 6th. Go ahead.
One song was like, "It's wonderful, it's marvelous." And these just showed up on the tape. And these were all new tapes.
Bob, could you stop for 1 second?
Sure.
Betty, were you just whispering during that?
No. I'm just sitting here listening.
Interesting. We'll see if we can actually isolate that audio for a little bit later. But, Bob, while you were talking, I could just hear what appeared to, it sounded like a woman whispering underneath you speaking.
Oh, wow. That was the next thing I was going to tell you about. On one of the other tapes, there was a soft woman's voice that spoke actually before Betty, the same words. We did take that tape to an audio lab, and they could find no reason for that second voice to be on there.
Okay, so that was the audio. And after the show, I talked to the engineers at Coast to Coast and asked if they could hear it, and they could not hear it live at the time. I could hear it through my headphones very clearly. I went in, and I had my engineer, Tim, my co-producer of Darkness Radio, pull up the audio here in our station, and we pulled it up to listen to it. And at first, Tim said, "Dave, I don't hear anything," until we cranked the volume up, and then he could very clearly hear this audio. When he put it into, I think it was Cool Edit, one of the audio forms, he put it in there, and he could physically see the voice appear in the recording. So he isolated both sections of the voice. And it's interesting because it starts to speak and it almost stops when it's as though it's taking a breath as he speaks again. And when he stops, the whispering continues. So Tim elevated the volume of the two whispering spots. This is going to be a very short clip, but so that you could hear it a little bit more accentuated. And this isn't just the mechanical whir of machines. This isn't anything like that. This is the actual audio as it came through. He just bolstered the floor of the sound so that you could hear it a little bit more clearly. And we'll play it a few times, and then I'll tell you what we heard through the speakers. So let's go ahead and play that piece of audio now. And we'll do that one more time. Like I said, it's very fast. You'll hear the whisper, the talk, and then the whisper again. Here we go. So when we played it back clearly, and we're going to have these audio bits available up on the coasttocoastam.com website. So you can actually go in and manipulate it, play with it, listen to it yourself. I'd love for you to email me and tell me what you think you heard. What were the voices saying? We were able to do some work in studio. Tim was able to isolate the fact, knowing how the systems work, that it was definitely not coming from the main office from Coast to Coast. It was not coming from our studio, so it had to be coming from the phone line that our guests were on. He was able to isolate that aspect of it. When we listened back and we turned it up, it was a bit of a chilling message. Now, this would kind of fit into the category of electronic voice phenomena, the disembodied, disincarnate voices that are sometimes captured during ghost investigations. And again, it's very subjective. Sometimes you hear things and eight different people can hear eight different things. What was interesting is both Tim and I heard the same thing. The first segment, it sounds like the voice says, I'm going to, and then there's a pause, and then when it comes back, it says, kill you. So it says, I'm going to kill you. And when I actually approached Bob and Betty after the show and let them hear the audio, they laughed and said they weren't surprised at this time. They get a lot of that strange kind of phenomena around their home and in their lives. But we're going to play that audio again for you now. And again, what I hear is, I'm going to kill you. Go ahead. And we'll do that one last time. Again, that will be up on the Coast to Coast AM website. So go check it out. Listen to it for yourself. You'll be able to hear the full version and then the edited version that's pared down. We've altered it no other way except for bolstering the sound quality so that you could hear the whisper more broadly. So we'll put that over on coasttocoastam.com. And while you're over there, you might as well sign up to become a Coast Insider. It's about 15 cents a day, and that gives you access to 5 years of our past archives. It gives you access to live chats with George Norrie and some of the other hosts of Coast to Coast AM. It gives you access to live chats with some of the best guests and most knowledgeable guests on Coast to Coast as well. You can also see the news, the photographs, all the strange things you hear on the show, all in one place. Go become a Coast Insider right now. Go check out my website, darknessradio.com. There's a live chat going on all during tonight's show, so you can join us in the live chat room at darknessradio.com. Stay tuned. We've got more Coast to Coast AM coming your way right after this. When mystical experiences occur, people awaken to a more humane worldview and a burning passion to inspire personal and global transformation. The book tonight that we'll be discussing, What Wags the World, Tales of Conscious Awakening, is a topical and compelling collection of conscious awakening stories from 37 individuals from many different walks of life. Joining us this evening, Miriam Knight, a native of Venezuela and citizen of the world. Miriam has lived on four continents and speaks four languages. She has a BA in Romance Languages and Psychology from Boston University and an MA in Psychology from the University of Virginia. Let's welcome to Coast AM, Miriam Knight. Miriam, thank you for joining us this evening.
Thank you for inviting me, Dave.
What a great book and an interesting title, interesting topic to cover, especially as we're coming into a new year. Everybody's looking for kind of ways to bring about their lives and change things and shake off the last year and open up to a whole new consciousness and a whole new beginning for themselves with the new year coming around the corner. Let me start off with the book title. What gave you the idea for this book and the title itself?
Well, I came across a great quote from T.H. White, who wrote a book called The Once and Future King. And the wizard Merlin is telling the young King Arthur that the best thing for being sad is to learn something. Learn why the world wags and what wags it. I just thought that was delicious and kind of appropriate to what I'm trying to do with the book.
When you talk about conscious awakening, what is your definition of that?
You know, Dave, it covers an absolute infinite spectrum of awakening. It's everything from understanding that we're interdimensional beings and connected to each other, to understanding that we're responsible for our own lives, that we're not victims, to understanding that what we purchase, how we go about our lives affects the planet, affects everybody else on it, and it affects it to future generations. That's why I have such a variety of stories in the book, because there are many different ways of awakening, and there are so many different ways of doing something with that awakened state.
During the next hour, we'll open up phone calls, so if you have a story of what you believe to be a conscious awakening or your own story you'd like to share or questions for our guest, you can be a part of the show with us next hour. Let me talk to you a little bit about conscious awakening, though, Miriam. That's something that's always intrigued me. We've, you know, since 2012, there's been this talk of the, you know, apocalyptic endings of the world. We're always hearing about these meteors or asteroids that could be coming in and things that could be stopping the Earth, the solar flares that could mess with our stuff and send us back to the Stone Age. There are all of these things going. But the interesting aspect to me is that so many different religions and belief systems all seem to agree on one thing, that there is some kind of change, some kind of global consciousness that's taking place, some kind of awakening. And do you find it intriguing that for a world that can't seem to agree on much, many different religions and belief systems are coming together in this one aspect?
I think what's happening is that we're actually transcending all the different religions and finding the commonality among them. People are sort of turning their back on organized religion and looking for a kind of spirituality that is more universal. They are defining themselves in a much bigger sense as divine beings, as and allowing themselves to connect personally to the divine instead of through an intermediary.
I also find it interesting when we talk to many of the different guests that are here on Coast to Coast AM, a lot of them have talked about the fact that the only way change is going to come is for people to open up and accept this kind of awakening and allow it to happen. And, you know, aliens have supposedly been telling us this message for eons, and nature spirits, sprites, spirits, all of these different aspects seem to come together and are trying to alert us to this. How do we begin to open ourselves to this idea? I mean, some people are fearful of the woo-woo factor, but they still want to see a change and they want to be a part of something greater than they currently are.
Well, for this fearful types, we go to quantum physics, and I'm sure you've had many, many people on your show who talk about the scientific aspect of consciousness and the interplay between consciousness and matter, consciousness and science. And in fact, I would say that as much as it is a conscious awakening, it's an awakening of consciousness, awakening to the primacy of consciousness in creating reality.
Well, people have talked to us about the holographic universe. Do you believe that that is what's going on around us? It's a universe that's constantly shifting and changing because of the belief systems and the things that we put out there?
Absolutely. 100%.
Is that why things sometimes seem so chaotic? Because there are so many people with so many different belief systems creating their own reality. Does it have a strange ripple effect? Because the reality we're creating seems to bump into other people's versions of it.
I think there's just so much noise in the system. I mean, just think of it. You get up in the morning, you turn on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
The last thing at night, you're listening to Coast AM, of course.
Well, we hope.
But the messages that bombard us all day, we're connected all the time. We don't spend time in silence. And so we've got all of this noise going around in our own consciousness. And one of the things that comes through a lot of the stories in the book is the importance of being in silence, of going inside and listening to that still small voice, of going into nature and letting nature soothe and heal and inform you.
You know, people talk about this still small voice. One thing that always intrigues me about that, and as somebody that beats himself up about this, I have a voice, a little voice in my head, but mine can be very negative and talk things down and try to convince me not to do things. And it's not, I don't liken it to a form of intuition, but it seems more like self-destruction. You know, it's that voice that tells us we're not good enough. We're not. How do we separate between a voice like that and a voice that might try to actually give us direction to make our lives better?
That's a really good question, Dave, because we all have those voices that we have inherited from our parents, from our childhood, from our upbringing, from every trauma and disappointment that we've had in our lives. And part of the evolution of our consciousness is getting beyond that, transcending those small messages and getting in touch with the big source of consciousness, with that direct connection that we have to the universal. And whether you call it angels or God or great spirit or great mystery, it is all that of which we are a part. We're all connected at that level. And if you get a negative message, you know that it's not coming from God. God is love. And, you know, it sounds trite to say it because we have debased the word love. But love really is the essence of the universe. That's what comes through from every single one of the people in the book.
You know, it's fascinating that you say when you hear those negative and destructive voices that it is not of a place of love, whether you believe in God or Buddha or the universe or great spirit. And I heard a statement recently that really kind of hit home for me, and it was when you hear those voices telling you you're not good enough, those voices that are dragging you down, tell them to go to hell because that's where those thoughts come from. And we do want to recapture that, right? We want to take control of our lives. And unfortunately, a lot of us are brought up in this situation where we question and, you know, we've made bad choices in our lives. We've thought we followed intuition before or instinct and it burned us. So that is a pretty hard hurdle to jump over in order to create this new consciousness paradigm. Is it usually, do you find that people have this after a life-altering experience, struck by lightning, you know, high fevers and sickness or illness, or a death of a loved one? Does it seem to take something to crack the shell of that egg of consciousness before people are open to it?
I think you've hit on exactly the right metaphor. It's cracking the shell. It's opening up and surrendering. It's like you have to get to the bottom, to the dark night of the soul, where you surrender and you say, I can't do this alone anymore, help me. And that's when the universe organizes itself to help you. You have to ask, because we have free will.
I find the strange part about what I do in interviewing people from all walks of life and different belief systems, so many people believe that they're tapped into some great ethereal internet, Akashic records, or their God selves, or their higher consciousness, or God, or their angels, or their spirit guides. But their messages, although full of love and compassion for the most part, all seem to kind of contradict each other. And I will watch one faction, a medium and a psychic, say that, oh no, that's not where I'm getting my information, and I don't think that they're getting the right information from here. And this person is saying, well, I get it from universe, not God. I get it from the spirit. I get it from the earth. I get it from Gaia or Mother Nature. But the messages all seem the same. Isn't it kind of strange that even though the messages are the same, people still kind of are combative about where they get that information?
You know, when these messages come through to an individual, it's overwhelming for them. And they believe that they really have the truth, you know. And the thing is that we are vessels that have been formed by our lives. And so, you know, just like you have very high quality speakers and the sound comes out in one way, and then you have other tinny speakers and the sound comes through in another way, you transmute the message in accordance with your own life experience and your own expectation.
Miriam Knight is our guest this evening. We'll be talking to her more about her book, What Wags the World? Tales of Conscious Awakening. Has Miriam herself had experiences that we would consider paranormal? We'll find out about that right after this. Miriam Knight, our guest for the first 2 hours on Coast to Coast AM. You can call us next hour if you have your own conscious awakening you'd like to talk about, or if you have any questions for our guest. Miriam, have you ever had an experience that we would consider to be paranormal?
I have, Dave. Actually, it was secondhand when a friend of ours very tragically killed himself and then started appearing to my husband in his dreams. And, of course, my husband immediately dismissed it and then thought he was going crazy because our friend was very persistent. He wanted to get a message through to his son. What this did to my husband was kind of blow him open psychically, and it scared the heck out of him. And he was able to see things about people in the street, in the pub, in the bus.
Well, now, hold on. When you say he could see things, walk me through that. What do you mean by that? He could physically see something around them? Was he seeing it only in his mind's eye?
It's what you would call clairvoyance. You know, people process information differently. Some people hear things. They're clairaudient. Other people see visual images. So in my husband's case, for example, he saw a friend of his at a crossroads, one road leading to the hospital and the other road leading to the cemetery. And then he had an understanding and knowing that that meant he was very ill and had to go see a doctor right away.
And this just hit. This was something that your husband had never experienced through his life before?
Absolutely.
And what was the trigger?
He was a stockbroker.
Okay.
So the friend went to the doctor and found three coronary arteries completely blocked and one partially blocked. So he had saved his life.
How was it difficult for him to broach that subject and say, hey, I see this about you?
It was easier with a couple of stiff scotches.
Yeah, everything is, isn't it? Let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's find out about some of the people that you interviewed for the book. Who told you their stories, and was it easy to get them to open up about these stories, or are people more guarded because they're afraid of being looked at as kooks or woo-woo? We'll find out more right after this. Over 37 stories contained in the book, What Wags the World? Tales of Conscious Awakening. Our guest for the evening, Miriam Knight. Miriam, talk to me about some of the people that you interviewed for this book.
Happy to. First of all, they had all written books. And I had reviewed the books. That's what gave me the idea to pull some of these stories together because there was a commonality. It was the awakening experience that I wanted to get out into the world because so many people are having these experiences and don't have any context for them. So it's like I'm giving them permission to acknowledge the experiences that they've kind of shoved away in the corner and understand that they are normal, that this is our birthright to have an intuitive sense that connects us to a wider fount of knowledge. So, for example, one of the gals, Suzanne Giesman.
Well, wait, can I ask you one thing? When you talk to these people, does it seem to be almost a source of embarrassment or shame that they've had this moment at one point in their life because they feel isolated, alone, or like they're even questioning their own sanity?
That's the way it started for many of them. But, of course, they got around to writing a book about them, so they got
right
past that.
All right, and you started to tell us a story about one of the specific tales in the book.
Yeah.
Let's hear about that.
Suzanne Giesman. She was a former Navy commander. She was an aide to the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, you know, solid, evidence-based, logical thinker. When her stepdaughter died, she and her husband went to a medium to try and get some modicum of comfort after her death. And the medium told them things that she could not possibly have known. Suzanne then started writing articles about mediumship. It intrigued her. She wanted to understand it. And then suddenly she found that she herself had become a medium. Another gal, Anita Morjani, I suspect you've had her on the show, had a near-death experience. She was admitted to hospital in stage 4 cancer in a coma and had a conversation with her father in this coma who helped her understand how powerful we are in terms of manipulating our physiology.
You know, Dave, that we change ourselves every 7 years. So what keeps ourselves coming back in these kind of aging forms? It's because of our expectations. And if we expect that we will be younger, we will actually have the physiological markers for being younger or healthier.
Wait, hold the phone. So if I start focusing on the fact that in 7 years, as I've sloughed off the old Dave, the new Dave will have a full head of hair and be a lot skinnier again?
Only if you are convinced to the very tips of your fingernails.
Mm. See, there always seems to be that out. But we've got that, and that is an intriguing aspect to me. I always think about, you know, if we are always changing and we're, you know, sloughing off the old and the new, how do we go about maintaining a healthier internal dialogue and healthier internal focus to make ourselves feel better, look better, act better? You know, it seems that we get so overtaken, as you brought up earlier on the show, by external forces that will affect us and keep us from maybe being all that we can be. Is there a way to start shielding ourselves from that so that we can tune in more to that still voice within us that will help us become more of who we should be?
Well, you said the magic word, tune in inside. Meditation is one of the most powerful ways of doing it. And it's our constant self-talk. You know, what we think we will become. And if we think negative thoughts, guess what? We're going to manifest. So, you know, you can't fool Mother Nature, as they say. She knows if you believe.
And I understand that aspect. But, you know, I mean, that's, I guess, where the problem with a lot of theology. People have a trouble believing in a God or Jesus or, you know, any of the different religious figureheads. Because it's all about faith, which is a tough thing to capture for people, right? I mean, how do you just turn over to something that you have no physical proof exists? You have nothing that you can see to say, aha, all right, you're right. So I'm going to give to that. Now I know that will take on my issues and allow me to focus on the better things.
You know, I'm going to quote Frank DeMarco, who was the publisher of Hampton Roads. And he had an experience as well. And he said, if this were somebody else's story, he would have had reservations about believing it. But because he was there and it happened to him, he didn't have a lot of choice in the matter. And that's, I think, why so many people are having these firsthand experiences. So what I am passionately saying is, pay attention, accept that these experiences are real, and learn the message, listen to the message that the universe is trying to convey to you.
I think where we get into problems with that too, though, is sometimes these messages are not very clear. And I've often thought, you know, when speaking to a medium or psychic, or speaking to somebody that has these insights in their translating what they're getting from the Akashic records or from the universe, why isn't the message more clear? Why is it always this kind of chaotic puzzle? If the universe has a story to tell me, why not just tell me the story?
I think it is the messengers, the channels. You know, a message will come through as clearly as the vessel through which it comes. I have spoken to a lot of psychics over the years, and they actually have to develop their skills over time. They kind of develop a language, a vocabulary of what the images mean. If you've heard people like Sylvia Brown or John Edwards, they'll say, well, I see a bunch of roses, and that always means to me that somebody wants to send you, you know, love and gratitude. It's that translation, the transducer effect.
And I understand that. I mean, there's got to be, for them, a universal code. But again, if they're speaking to the dead, grandma's showing up, why doesn't grandma just say, tell them I love them? Why does she have to hold out roses? Why, you know, why is there always these bizarre messages that are given?
It's not always that way. There are some people who really are so skilled that they come through very, very clearly in unmistakable language. And, information that they could not possibly have known.
Has your husband continued having these moments where he's able to see things and vividly understand what's being told to him?
He got scared and he shut it down, but he's starting to open up, you know, kind of in a measured way. And so he uses his intuition in his practice, really. He became a hypnotherapist. This is another phenomenon that we find with people who have awakened. They start to look for a different way of being in the world, a different way of earning their living, a way of giving back and being in service to humanity.
When you collect these stories and you see, and again, all of the people that are included in your book are people that have shared their experiences other places and their awakenings, and you've kind of culled them together so it's the boiled down essence of their stories for your book to have it out there and available. Are there any of these people that you find that even though they've had experience after experience and things that have changed your life for the positive, do any of them still continue to question the messages that they get?
Probably all of them. Because we are evolving beings and we get more and more clarity as we evolve along our own path, as we mature in our own understanding. I'm sure every single one of them would say that the way I understand things now is different from the way I understood things a year ago, 5 years ago, or 10 years ago.
You know, I love to watch the TV show Shark Tank. Mm-hmm. I've been a salesman my entire life. I enjoy looking at what people have created and the angles that they use to market these things. And I love reading different boards about people, and they'll be like, man, I watched the show last night and I had that same idea 5 years ago. And why didn't I move on it? It seems to me global consciousness or a conscious awakening, there's all of this great information floating around. And some people are being pinged with it all the time and they just don't move forward. And it's like if they don't open that door, it just moves over to another door to somebody who might be more receptive. Is that what you find kind of in this case? And has there been any of the cases that you've collected where somebody has been pinged numerous times and that is actually what opens them up? They finally realize, oh my God, I've been missing the boat all of this time.
Absolutely. Yes. You know, the case that comes to mind is Paul Von Ward. He started out as an evangelical minister. And there was a kind of a feeling that something was not quite right about the messages that he was giving to his flock. He left the ministry. He went into the Navy. He was about to become a commander of a PT boat. He felt that killing people wasn't really his thing, and he ended up in the Foreign Service. He was a career officer there. All of this time, he had this growing sense that possibly some inside information as well, you know, being placed high in the government, but a sense that we are not alone, a sense that there is more to the story. And he is a scholar now, and he continually investigates and writes books about really our place in the universe, our place, our relationship with our ET brothers and sisters, the bringing it down into society, the shortcomings of our economic system, the shortcomings of our political system. The thing is that it's all connected, and awakening will happen in every aspect of life, not just the spiritual aspect. It's sacred economics. It's healing the planet. It's interrelationships with the poor and the homeless and the disenfranchised. It's healing communities.
It is interesting how some people can open the door to an aspect of consciousness, but they don't seem to always grasp the whole concept or get the entire message. Am I right?
It's a pretty big message. You know, let's just be grateful if they get a part of it right.
Sure. Well, I just, you know, again, kind of referring back to mediums and sensitives, it's interesting how sometimes they're the most destructive in their own lives, but yet they get so much great information for everybody else.
They're human beings. They're not, immaculate saints. That's why you, each individual, has to trust your own instinct about what sounds true to you. If it doesn't sound right, reject it, including everything I'm saying.
And before I start getting a bunch of hate mail or angry mail from psychics and sensitives, I'm not meaning to generalize you. And I know that there are many that have their lives in order and know what they're doing and have opened up totally. But being that I know a handful of people like that, that are sensitives and psychics that do so much good work for other people and see this, but yet their life is in a chaotic order because they seem great at opening up to help others, but they don't hear their own message to turn their life around. So I was speaking not in generalization or broad statements, but more in just in some of the people that I know in that angle. So I just want to stave that off before the emails start pouring in over here, Miriam. We've got a little bit of time left in this segment. Go ahead. I just wanted to
I have a couple of degrees in psychology, and psychologists are often the most messed up people you'll ever find because they're trying to figure out how to heal their own lives.
Or are they so focused on trying to heal other people's lives that they sometimes forget to internalize it for themselves?
Well, they say, teach that which you most need to learn.
Isn't that the way it is? I mean, we've always joked, in sales, there are those that can, and those that can't manage, right? So you've got that weakness, yet that sometimes those are the people that are trying to lead us in the world. Tales of Conscious Awakening is the subject of the book that we're discussing. Miriam Knight, our guest this evening, we're going to open up phone lines in the next hour. So if you have stories of your own conscious awakening you'd like to share with us, what that meant to you, or if you have questions about this, we want to hear from you as well. Let me ask you this, Miriam, before we go to the top of the hour break. Like any muscle, like any skill that we develop, there's baby steps. Michael Jordan didn't pop out of the womb and start hitting, three-pointers. And Babe Ruth didn't just come out swinging and knocking home runs all the time. There was a skill set that had to be taught and learned. What are some baby steps that you would encourage people to do to start to allow themselves to open up and accept this?
The most important thing they can do is to go into silence, because when your mind is always busy, you can't hear the messages that are coming through. So whether it's meditation or taking a walk in nature, getting away from it all, go into silence. Make it a practice every day, even 5 or 10 minutes. You'll be amazed at the change in your life.
Some people believe that, much like myself, I bombard myself with music. I'm a musicaholic and love music. And sometimes when I've got the music going and the messages, the things that are coming through to me and that, those moments, not in the silence, but when I'm bombarding myself with this noise, is sometimes when I find myself most open. Do you find that that can be helpful as well? I mean, we all get our muse from different places, right?
What we're talking about is going into an altered state.
Mm-hmm.
And whether you do it through hypnosis, whether you do it through meditation, people go into altered states when they're driving, and they might have the music blasting, and then suddenly they don't know where they are because they've totally zoned out.
Right. We've all had that experience where we get in the car and all of a sudden we're pulling into our driveway and think, wait a minute, how the hell did I get here? I don't even remember driving.
And several of the people in the book have had these phenomenal contact experiences while they're driving because their mind is in that altered state.
Let's take a quick break. We'll get back into this more with Miriam Knight, our guest. And we want to hear from you. If you've had your own conscious awakening, give us a call, share your stories, or if you have questions for our guest, we want to hear from you. This is the best in overnight talk radio. This is Coast to Coast AM.